Lord, I just thank you for Noms. I thank you for the words you've given us so far just to say. And Lord, I pray that just as she speaks, she'll speak with real boldness and real courage, and that you will just really use her tonight. Lord, I pray that as we sit and listen and receive, that we will hear from you, that we'll be really open to that. I just thank you for who you've made her to be and the blessing she is to so many people. Amen.
Thank you. Let's have a quick drink. I'm going to give my normal, there's a fair chance I'll cry, notice. I'm not talking about anything at all emotional. I cry a lot of things. So I just feel like I should warn people because some people don't cry, but I do. This is our last Sunday evening together for a couple of months, actually, just before the summer. And it's our last one on the theme of game changers, which we decided to do after being at Spring Harvest and just being so touched by God and all that he's done. So if you've been here for the last two, you'll know that Holly and Emma have both shared about Moses and the challenges he overcame to be a game changer, how he relied on God and God's strength was what gave him the power and opportunity to be a game changer. But we're going to kind of leave him alone a little bit for tonight and focus on some other people. So when we look through the Bible, there's so many game changers that we could have talked about, thinked about. I'm sure for each of you, someone will come to mind that's your hero, your story, your person that kind of resonates with where you're at. So I think I was listening and I got David and Samuel, Noah, Esther, Paul, Jesus. There's so many who, in so many spectacular ways, have changed the game. They've overcome crazy situations. They've been rejected. They've been discriminated against. They've been persecuted. But through God, they've changed the game. And they're so inspiring to us as to how in our lives we could do something so amazing and so great. But the fact of it is, for most of us, we're not always the main character. And we don't always have some big thing to overcome or to change, or some situation that is immense and immeasurable that God can help us with. Absolutely, God's using us and we do have those situations. But that isn't our everyday. And so actually I'm just going to look at three little examples in the Bible of people who are game changers, not necessarily in a spectacular way, but in that little way that meant somebody else could be a great game changer. So I'm going to look at one from Exodus, one from Genesis, and then one from Acts. So I believe that God has a main game for all of us, whether we're listening to him or not. Things that we actually do spend so much time doing. But every day, we get the chance to have that little part in other people's games. Every day, there might be 100 interactions that we have that could change the game for somebody else. So the first one from Genesis 37:15-17. So a tiny bit of background. So this is Joseph's been sent by his dad to find out where his brothers are, who are meant to be in the field. And from verse 15, so it just says, "A man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, 'What are you looking for?' Joseph replied, 'I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?' 'They have moved on from here,' the man answered. 'I heard them say, let's go to Dothan.' So Joseph went after his brothers and found them there." So it's a pretty simple one there. Not much to that little verse. Nothing spectacular is happening. And if you look through any commentaries on that verse, actually you find a fair bit about Joseph being obedient to his father and his brothers being disobedient, and how Joseph being obedient saw God's plan fulfilled. But as you would really expect, this man doesn't really get much of a mention because, well, he doesn't really do all that much. But he does take the time to interact. In that moment, he chooses to have that conversation with the guy looking lost. He offers it up. Joseph hasn't asked him. He said, "You're looking lost, can I help you?" And I just think, how often in our lives do we have little moments where we could offer that interaction with somebody? It might not ever be something great. It might not be, God says this for your life. But it might just be that one little conversation, that one, "I've taken notice of what's going on and I've taken notice of you," that could make all the difference to somebody. So I don't know if there's somebody who's always on the same bus as you or the same metro that you make eye contact with every day, And actually with that little word, even just that hello, what are you doing today? Or if the look down, how we is something up, you know, I've noticed. For all the crazy things we believe in and believing in God and Jesus, being crazy enough to just ask someone how they're doing actually isn't really that far-fetched. We're so consumed with what's good for us and on our phones, or like me with my headphones and wherever I go, that I think I probably miss 100 opportunities a day just to be interested in somebody who might not have anybody interested in them, or who might just need at that exact moment someone to care and notice. And maybe that's all God needs us to do to change the game for that person. Maybe we'll never have any contact with them again and never know if that word or that comment made any difference to their life. But that's not for us to know. If we just take that tiny opportunity to care and be interested, we could change the game for somebody in a huge way and never know of it again, but God would always know. So just choosing to be interested when there's no real benefit to us at all. So our second one is less of a one person and more of a little group. So from Acts 2, 42 to 46. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So I've added this one in because it doesn't really matter who they are. They don't get names, they don't get their own books, they don't get lists of the great deeds that they've done. It's just them, it's just the group, it's just the church, it's just all together. It didn't really matter who each of these people were. It mattered that they were there and given the best of what they had to each other and to God. It's the best of the small things in every day that they've given to each other. And sometimes when we're so busy and our lives are so full, we give what's left. We give what's not quite needed by us to other people and to God. We give after work and after we've had the things that we want to do to God. But actually, this group together gave what was the best, and that's when they saw results. That's when they felt God moving every day. When they were more interested in investing in other people than investing in what was good for them as individuals, to be successful, to get a promotion, to be on a great holiday, whatever it might be. They were more interested in being together. For us, this could look like money. It could look like giving this to somebody, or a cause, or a charity, or a church, or whatever it could be. Or it could be time. It could be giving that time that you want to spend by yourself, or watching a film, or whatever, with somebody else who needs it more than you do. With somebody who just needs a chat, or to pray, or needs actually investing in for a longer period of time. Who needs someone to meet with them every week or every other week, whether that's really the convenient thing for you to do after you've been at work and come home and had to make your tea and tidy the house, and there's always washing and there's always dishes, and how can that happen when only two people live in your house? But it does. And actually the best time that you've got, for me at least, I often just think, well, if I just sit on the sofa and I'll just watch Lord of the Rings for the 18th time. But actually the best of my time could be given to somebody else rather than the leftover of my time. So given just the best of what you have and not just the leftovers. Our third game changer is probably the most well-known and kind of carries on from Moses, who we've been hearing about already. So this is from Exodus 17:12. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Moses is the hero of that story and the game changer for Israel. He did so much and we all know of him, and children are named after him, and his name's not likely to be forgotten. But even the greatest speaker, preacher, church leader, whatever it might be, needs a bit of support to get by. Nobody can possibly do it by themselves. And absolutely they need the strength of God. But one of the ways that God does that is through the other people around him. So who was never going to be the hero, and he doesn't get much of a mention. He's just mentioned, I think, one more time really briefly. But without him being there, Moses would not have been able to have that victory for God. And that act was nothing that he was going to get amazing praise for, or like kind of be remembered for in years to come or whatever. But it was just that small thing that he's not going to get rewarded, but it's what Moses needed. It's what Moses needed, and Moses was going to get the praise, and Moses was going to be the great leader. But he always needed those people beside him just to hold him up, to do nothing more than hold up his arms. God can support people and be there for people, but he needs us to do that as well. Or he doesn't need to, but he chooses to. That's how he's going to do it. And sometimes we can be tempted into saying a prayer and then nothing more, when God actually needs us to be doing something as well. I'm not at all doubting how important it is to be praying. But actually, I think sometimes we can ignore the fact that God's actually answering that prayer by putting us in a position and carry on praying and praying and thinking, where's this answer, without us doing anything to be the answer. So quite a few years ago, a friend of mine in a different church was about 18 and stopped going to church because of a few different situations, and it was quite a hard time for her. And several months after that, she bumped into a person that she used to go to church with, and the person said, "Oh, hi, how you doing? We've been praying for you." And this friend of mine recalls this now, and she's not a Christian anymore. And she recalls it almost with a bit of humour and a bit of frustration, because she met that person and the person said, "We've been praying for you." But in all of that time, the months that had gone by, nobody had called her and nobody had asked to meet up with her and nobody had said, "Do you need any help or support with what you're going through?" And absolutely, her situation needed a lot of prayer. But some of that answer to that prayer could have been those people just taking the time to meet with her, to provide for some of the actual needs. In James 2:14, it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Could faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warm and filled,' but you do not give them the things which they need for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." God calls us to act in situations. And in situations where we're not going to get praise or thanks, and it might be something that is a little bit tough or is a little bit insignificant, but we're surrounded by people who don't know God and who do know God, who every day need us just to take that time and act, to hold up their arms, to be beside them, to provide for their needs in more than just prayer. We see it so often in the world that we live in that people in lots of places lose respect for churches and for Christians because they don't see what is good. And we know how much greatness there is in church and what Christians do. But what more can we be doing? If we're praying for injustice, are we living in a way that helps to battle injustice? Are we spending our money on things that are good for the world, not bad for the world? Because if we're praying for it but then acting contrary to it, well then, what's all the good point in praying if God's given us some of the answer and we're choosing not to act on it? So these are all just minor things and minor roles in other people's stories that we could change their big game. They're small roles and might seem insignificant in comparison to Moses or Esther or Joseph and their big dreams and their big changing of history. But these minor roles could change somebody else's game so much, and we'll never know. One of the lovely teenagers of the church and I were talking recently about this, about who was game changers in our life and what they've done for when, how could we describe what they are? And she summed it up better than I ever would have. And she just said, "I can't tell you specific things that the older girls have done for me, but it's like I'm made up of little bits of all of you." I think that's a pretty powerful incentive just to pay attention, to act on what we see people's needs are, and just to hold up people around us. We're made up of parts of the people that we meet, and they're made up of little parts of us. So if you're anything like me, a little interaction in the morning with an irritating driver in the wrong lane can leave me feeling really irritated all day. But at the same time, just a nice conversation with someone in a cafe, if I've stopped off to get croissants because I'm too lazy to make breakfast, can make me just feel so much happier and brighter. And that is so insignificant, but for me, that can change my perspective on how my day is going to be. Every day, all these insignificant interactions make up the people that we meet and make up us. So that's a little positive bit, but also little negative bits. So whether it's a fleeting moment, a letter, a comment, or a few hours, we leave them with a part of us. And I think what's amazing is that for us as Christians, we're not leaving them with a little part of us. If we're choosing to really interact and think and pray, we're going to leave them with a little bit of God, whether they want it or know it or not. We have that opportunity every time that we speak to somebody to be a little bit of light and a little bit of good that stays with them. So Paul from Paula Gooder, who I think we've quoted a lot of these nights because we love her, she just says, wherever and whenever moments of generosity, selflessness and humility occur, where there could have been greed, selfishness and pride, we're called to notice these moments and celebrate them. And when they don't occur, we need to strive to bring them about. So the only little things that we need to celebrate, but those little things build up who we are and build up who other people are. And even though this might sound a little bit tiring, if we're always giving little parts of ourselves away, the beautiful thing is if we're spending time with other people, then we get little parts of them back. And if we're spending time with people who are interested in the same thing of putting bits of God into you, then we get all those little bits of God back into us. So we'll always spend a bit of time sharing, and today I want you just to have a little bit of time more specifically. So we're going to have about 5 or 6 minutes, and I want you, if you're comfortable, just to chat with the people next to you about who has been a game changer in your life specifically. Has somebody done something or said something? Was there a fleeting conversation or comment? Has someone put time and effort into you that's for them been something that was inconvenient but actually maybe minor, but for you has had a huge impact? I want you just to have a chat and tell the people around you what those experiences have been. And then I want you to think, is there someone or people that you could be a game changer for? Is there someone that you see that you think, actually, I need to just talk to that person and say hello? Because maybe my friendliness is all that they need to have a better day and see a part of God. And then after we've had about 5 minutes doing that, we'll have a chance, like always, to come up and say if there's anything God has been doing. So I think Ewan's just going to play some music for 5 minutes whilst you do that. Thank you.